whenever a man or a woman that God has purposed to save, when they're in their darkness and their sin and their ignorance, they come to this Word and they a lot of times decide they're going to do something for God. They're big and they're proud and they know a lot and they got a real hard heart and they're real righteous in their own eyes and they're going to do something for God. So they come to this Word and God begins to make it known to them that no man chooses Him. He chooses whom He will. And He passes by whom He will. It's of God's mercy that a man is put in Christ. And this brings the high and mighty man down a little bit. He begins to think he'll reckon up his righteousnesses to the Lord and the Lord will be pleased with him. And the Lord makes it known in his heart that sinners aren't redeemed, they aren't purchased, they aren't freed out of bondage by corruptible things such as silver and gold. Not by your bringing the shekel of the sanctuary, not by your adherence to the law of God, not by your adherence to the Word of God, not by your willingness and your doing. Those are corrupt things. It's what Peter told us here. And he finds out it's not by those things that we're redeemed, but we're redeemed with the precious blood of Christ Jesus the Lord. This one who's precious to God the Father, this one who's chosen of the Father and precious, this one who was foreordained before the world was made, this one in whom all spiritual blessings were given to His people in Christ according as He chose us in Him before He ever even made the world. This very one who came forth, God of God, came forth as a man and perfectly fulfilled all righteousness. And this brings the mighty man down just a little bit more. And the mighty man thinks, well, I'm going to give my heart to Jesus. And he keeps hearing the Word of God, and God keeps instructing him out of His Word, and God makes it known, you don't sanctify yourself. You don't give yourself life. You have no willingness to come to me whatsoever, except I make you willing in the day of my power. Except I give you life by the Word, by the seed, by the incorruptible seed, and you be born again, you have no hope and you have no life. The Holy Spirit of God will get the glory for bringing you to Christ. And that brings the mighty man down a little bit more. And the mighty man thinks, surely there's something about me, something about my flesh, something that God looked down through time and He saw I was going to believe. He's something about me He saw. And the Word of God says, everything about your flesh is grass. And the best glory you have as a man is like the flower of the grass. And it withers, and today it's standing, and tomorrow it's in the oven and burned up, and it's worthless and useless. And the mighty man is brought to say, I have absolutely no hope. It's not of my choosing, it's not of my willingness, it's not of my works of righteousness, it's nothing about me. I am altogether filthy and undone. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, save me by your grace. Lord, save me by your mercy. And God makes it known to him, I have. I've been calling you this whole time. I've been teaching you this whole time. I've been taking no as an answer from you this entire time. And I've been drawing you to myself because I've loved you from everlasting. My Son has redeemed you, and now my Spirit has given you new life. You're not your own, you're mine. And he says this to us, chapter 2, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing as how God has done it all and all you are is undone in yourself, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. If so be, you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. Our first lesson here is one of humility toward God. You notice here, I want you to see something, that Peter mentions three things in connection with the Word of God, in connection with the truth. In verse 21, he says, "The believer by Him believes in God that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." Faith and hope. That comes through the Word of God. Faith and hope. And then look at this third one, verse 22. "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren." Here's the third thing, love. "See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently." We got faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love. When God's pleased to give us life by the Word, this is the Word whereby the gospel is preached unto you. This is the Word by which God is pleased to give us life, to give us new birth. Look here in verse 23, first chapter, verse 23. "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." Christ is the Word made flesh that dwelt among us. And we don't separate the written Word from Christ the Word, because Christ is the way, the truth, and the life of which the written Word speaks, and who is truly the life of the written Word. He said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have life, but they are they which testify of Me, and you will not come to Me that you might have life." He's the Word of the written Word. So we don't separate them. It pleased God to save through the preaching of the Word. At the end of verse 25, he says, "This is the Word which by the gospel is preached unto you." And by this means, it pleased God to give us spiritual life in the beginning, and it pleases God to grow us by the same means. By the same means. Through the preaching of the Word, the living Word, which by the gospel is preached unto you. I want you to see a connection here. In chapter 2, verse 1, Peter says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice." All right, then he says in verse 2, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word." The first portion here of malice that we need to lay aside is the maliciousness and the hypocrisy and the guile and the evil speaking that's against this Word. That's not truth. That's crafty and deceitful. That's the first thing. And we receive this Word like a newborn babe receives sincere milk. Peter's not talking about what Paul talks about in another place where he says milk's for babes and strong meat is for them that are of age. Here he's talking about lay aside everything that's malicious and contrary to the sincerity and purity of the Word of God, and receive it as a baby, as a child. Now look over at 1 Corinthians 14:18. You saw those two words there, malicious, lay aside that, as babes desire this Word. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. The Corinthian brethren had a lot of carnality about them, and they were, or at least in their midst, and they were all set on gifts and having all these different abilities, and everybody in the church wanted to have something to outdo the other one in the church and all this, you know. And there was all this competition amongst them. And listen to what Paul said. "I thank my God I speak with tongues more than ye all. Yet in the church I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue." Now watch what he says. What's his point? "Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. Paul calls a desire to be showy and to have these, to say no and to God's word. And he calls true spiritual understanding, true maturity, to receive this word, the sincere milk of the word, the truth of the word, and know that this is the word whereby you're going to be grown. And maliciousness is to count this not to be needful, but to think, well, I've got all these gifts now. We got all these. This is what you need. This is what we need. Of all the gifts that the brethren may have, it's for the edification of the body. It's not for anything else. It's for the edification of the body. Believers grow. We're going to grow. But we're going to grow utterly dependent upon the word of the gospel which God has appointed to grow us. We're not going to grow independent of it. We're not going to grow up to where we don't have to have it. We're not going to grow up. A baby grows up and doesn't have to have its mother's milk. But you still have to eat. You still have to come to the table and eat. And as you grow, you do take on stronger meat. But never forget this point. Where we start is where we continue. We never grow beyond the need of the gospel, the living word being preached. And I said this is humility to God because our faith is in God. Our hope is in God. And this faith and this hope is grown in God through this word because that's how God said He'd do it. And we can poke out our chest and say, well, I don't believe that. It's not that we don't believe. It's God we don't believe. Because He said, this is how I'm going to do it. That's how I'm going to do it. How long do we do this? Look at Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 13. How long will we feed upon this word like this? Ephesians 4, 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things which is the head, even Christ. So when we first read here, wherefore laying aside all malice, and all guile, and hypocrisies, and envies, and all evil speakings, it's that which is against this word, which is against God, against this word, against faith and hope that's in God, that comes through this word. Evil speakings against this word, contrary to this word. And as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Now the second lesson is in humility toward one another. Particularly love for one another. Because just as He's going to grow us in faith and hope through this word, He's going to grow us in love for one another through this word. Now, look at this with me here in 1 Peter 1, verse 22. He says, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth. That's done. The heart's been purified. The soul's been purified. Now love one another unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. The thing about the word of our Lord is this. As we're taught in the heart by the Spirit of God through the word, we grow in knowledge. We do grow in knowledge. But at the same time, we grow in grace. Because knowledge without grace just puffs up. Makes a man independent. But knowledge with grace makes the flesh wither and the inner man grow up. And that's how God grows His people, through this word. It makes a man grow in unfeigned love while all the malice and the guile and the hypocrisy is subdued, that part of the flesh. You know when you see these commercials sometimes of when they're advertising some kind of spray that kills weeds and things like that. and they'll show these weeds, you know, come up out of the sidewalk or come up out of the ground or whatever, and they'll spray it, and then you'll see that weed wither away or whatever. That's what the Word of God does. That's what it does. The Lord said that the way you're going to be known is by love. He said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. It's not going to be by earthly honors. It's not going to be by any kind of dress. It's not going to be by any kind of fleshly distinction. It's going to be by love. Now, this love that we're talking about is not simply a sentimental pity for fellow man. There's hosts of folks that do that. A man can do that and never even have heard the Word of God at all. That's innate in man, to feel sorry for folks and want to help them to some degree. But what we're talking about here is a true love, a love that God gave. The Pharisees did many things for many people. But when Christ came, He said, I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. How'd He know it? How'd He know it? He said, I'm come in my Father's name and you receive me not. He said, another will come in his own name, and him you will receive. What was he telling them? He's telling them this: how can you believe which receive honor one of another? True love's not that love that does something to get a pat on the back. It's not love that does something to have folks look and say, well, he loves. That fella right there loves. That's feigned love. You got your reward. You got it. You got what you wanted. You did what you did to be seen so people would say, boy, that person loves unselfishly. It wasn't unselfish love at all. It was love to be seen, to get an honor from one another. There is no unfeigned love of brethren except it be through this incorruptible Word of God, through the Spirit of God. Because all men by nature, the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the Word of God and can't be. And then in our flesh, we were hateful and hating one another. That's what the flesh is. Hates God and hates brethren. It can't come about except the Word, except the soul be purified. You see the word there, verse 22? Seeing ye have purified your souls. If you want to read this sometime over Numbers 9, there was all these different ways that a person could be dead and be unclean and be defiled. And they had to come and they had to take the ashes of a red heifer and they had to be sprinkled with the ashes of that red heifer and mixed with water purification. And it would sanctify their flesh ceremonially. But that's all it did. It was just a law, a picture of what the gospel would do, what Christ would do through the Holy Spirit, through the gospel. And the commentary on Numbers 9 is Hebrews 9. And in Hebrews 9:13 it says, if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. This is not a put-on thing with God's people. It's sincere. It's real. It's pure. It's unfeigned because it's of God. It's of the Spirit of God that purges us. And it doesn't stop there. John said, the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. We need continual cleansing from our sin within us. Our soul is purified and it continues to be purified. How is it? Verse 22. Look at verse 22. You've purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. You see how that come about? In obeying the truth through the Spirit. This word does have a cleansing effect through the Spirit. It cleanses the inner man. It cleanses our conscience. It makes us to know when God speaks into the heart, if you're a hypocrite, God's going to make you know it, if you're His. And He's going to make you confess to Him, I'm a sham. I've just been doing everything I've been doing to be seen of men. And He'll bring us down off that pedestal of pride, and He'll make us true lovers of God and lovers of our brethren. And He continues to do this. And He does this through the Word. The Lord said this, and I want you to see this in John 17. John chapter 17. Are we sure this comes about through the Word? John 17, verse 26. He had said there in this prayer, he said in verse 17, "Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth." Now look what he says in verse 26. "And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them." How'd that love come about? He said, "I've declared it to them, and I will continue to declare it to them, so that the love that you've had for me may be in them, and I in them." Christ in you is what's going to create this love in us, and it's going to be done through the Word. Now, I said to you that illustration about the weeds and the flesh withering. Look there in verse 24. "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away." So you remember from Thursday night, I'm going to go over here to Isaiah 40. I want to show you something. I pointed this out to you Thursday night, but do you remember what the Lord said? This is where Peter's quoting that from. "Why is it that the grass withers and the flower fades away?" Look at verse 7. "Because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it." Because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. When does He do that? When the gospel's going forth and the Word of God is coming forth, that flesh that is full of malice and pride and envy and hypocrisy and evil speakings, when God's working, He's blowing upon that flesh, and it's withering. It's withering away. And at the same time, that incorruptible Word is planted in the inner man, and it's growing thereby. So you have two things happening here while the Word's going forth. The flesh is withering because the Spirit of the Lord blows on it. And the other thing that happens is that newborn babe is growing by the Word of God, by the same Word it was conceived by. I said to you that knowledge puffs up. Knowledge puffs up. That's a frightening thing about religion, is this. A man can get knowledge. He can get all the knowledge about all the systems, about everything. But unless he's born of this incorruptible seed, he's too big for his britches all the time. Can't be taught, won't be taught, won't bow, won't submit, won't do anything anybody asks him to do, and thinks he's God's gift to everybody. Knowledge puffs up. But where this Spirit is, as knowledge is going forth, grace is going forth. Grace is going forth. That's what Peter says in, look over there in the second epistle. He says, "Grace and peace be multiplied through you," chapter 1, verse 2. "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." But you take away the grace and the peace. A man can get the knowledge. He can get a head knowledge of it. But without the grace and the peace being multiplied, it puffs up. But as the Spirit grows us in knowledge of Christ, as the Spirit does it, He grows us in grace. And so, growing up in the Spirit, we grow down in the flesh. Unfeigned love is grown while the malice and guile of the flesh is subdued. And unfeigned love is vitally, that's why it's vitally connected with the gospel. So is faith, hope, and love. All three. Now, our best knowledge, always, we do grow. And we do grow and become spiritual, mature believers. But we don't ever get past being a babe in malice and these things. We don't ever get past being a babe in our needful dependence upon the Lord. Ever. Ever. Our best expressions of God, our best speaking about God is still just stammering like a little infant while we're this side of glory. Our most mature state, this side of glory, is still just as weak and frail as a baby. Just so. Look over at 1 Corinthians 13. And look here now. I said to you, we talked about faith and hope and love coming through this gospel. This is what Paul said. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 9. He said, we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. You understand that illustration? As long as we're in this body, before Christ comes, and we're made perfect in Christ, perfectly conformed to His image, we're still children. But when He comes, we're putting away these childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and love. These three. But you know which one's going to still be there? You know which one's going to remain when Christ comes? Not faith. We're going to see Him face to face. Not hope. We're going to have Him. But love. Love will still be there. All right, let's end with this. Matthew 18. Matthew 18. Verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto Him and set him in the midst of them, and said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Peter learned this through much trial, didn't he? Through much trial. But he said this, wherefore, seeing as how we're chosen of God, seeing as how we're redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, seeing as how we're sanctified through the Spirit of God, seeing as how our flesh profits us absolutely nothing, seeing as how we were born of the incorruptible seed by the Word of God, by the gospel which is preached unto us, and seeing as how this is how God is pleased to grow His people in grace, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envy and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby, if so be you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. Amen.